Okay, according to Kurt, I can start now.
Yori?
Good evening, Council. So before we talk about budget, we wanted to have who I believe is our longest-standing employee in the Community Development Department. I think you are. Brenna Sterling Borgagnoni, who's our GIS specialist. So GIS is Geographic Information Systems. It's at the basic level, the mapping that we have here. And why we wanted Brenna to come and talk to you tonight is because you've seen a lot of her work. Some of you have met her, some of you haven't. And we are at a point where we want to start talking not so much about what we do now, but about what we can do next to keep Ferndale on the cutting edge of all of this information. So with that, Brenna.
Which fit?
Yeah. Okay, well, good evening, everybody. We're here to talk to you tonight. We already informed you a little bit. I'm going to speak to you about Ferndale Geographic Information System, its current configuration. We'll briefly go over that. And where I see it going in the next 3 to 5 years. So currently, right now, we have some really great tools that we're using. On a moderate budget, I really, really try very hard to not put a lot of money in, because I know things are tight. I'd like to use funds elsewhere. And I really try to keep my costs down and still provide a really good product for the city. Right now we have our Ferndale Online Map Viewer, which is the web application that I'll show you in a second. We have a freebie called ArcGIS Explorer that we use. We have our Pictometry Online, which is our aerial photography. We have an as-built database that we use, and we have our main GIS that I use in the office is called ArcGIS Desktop. So here's the Ferndale Map Viewer. This is unfortunately what most people see when they first open it. This technology was introduced long before iPhones were introduced, and it's dated and it has become rather obsolete and very limited in its ability and just not really user friendly. I mean, it still works. It's still a pretty good viewer, but it's better than nothing. And this is what we have set up thus far. So this is what it looks like on a good day, where you can see all of our layers that we put out there for the public. We're just limping along, keeping it going as long as we can, because we did invest the money in it, and I believe that we've gotten a return on that investment already. We need to look out forward from this point.
It goes through the school. Is it just the software that's slow, or trying to get to the servers that's slow?
It's the software, the architecture, and
because I think when you're trying to add another layer, it just
And it's the aerial that we're using too that bogs it down. It's a lot of different things. And I can talk to you more about that if you'd like to call a chat or whatever. We can dive into that a little more.
I won't torture you, especially if we're going to get something new.
Yeah. Okay, so here's an example of an application that I use. This is a freebie viewer that I have installed on every machine that in City Hall. And it does a decent job. It's very limited in its ability. You can only view data layers. You can't edit. It doesn't make a nice map that people like to see. And there's no interface with the internet at all. So it's strictly just on the desktop and for internal staff use only. Now users at home can download. web implementation in this product. We also have our photometry online, which is a catalog of our aerial photos. We partner with Whatcom County every 2 years to get a flight of the county, and gives us really great oblique images, which are images taken like this at an angle, as well as orthophotography. And this makes it really affordable for us to keep updated aerials. And this photometry online application is fairly new. I've started implementing it in City Hall, where staff can go in and view this data, these images, and do some basic measuring of heights and things like that. Our code enforcement people use it. You're using it a lot. I'd like to see the PD use it a little more. I'd like to talk with them about it at some point as well. And
I'm sorry, what do you mean measurement of heights?
Heights.
And application.
Building heights, I'm sorry. Building heights.
You can use this to, Paul. You can measure heights, distances away from. So if a building is 71 feet, we'll know it.
Yes, more or less.
I mean, 75 feet, we're going to know they're over 70 feet.
This also
without you up with a ruler and ladder.
Exactly. This also allows us, since we have the aerial flights every 2 years, allows us to kind of go back in time to say, oh, this is what's the difference between these two pictures? This
somebody
is something.
Added something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Gotcha.
Does Google Earth give you any kind of obliques? Or
Bing does. Mm-hmm. We actually, they get it from Pictometry, which we, if we didn't participate in the partnership, Pictometry wouldn't get flown, and Bing would not be updated.
Okay.
So basically, they get our stuff. So
work for them.
That's nice. The only time Bing has been relevant.
And Google Earth, I don't use it often enough to know. I believe it's a different satellite. They use satellite.
They use different satellites. Yeah. I'm not sure if you got obliques with it.
I don't think so.
Okay, so that's our pictometry online. Another feature, well, a limitation of this is that we cannot allow outside people to access it. It's internal only, it's within the city only. Staff, we have a limited number of seats. It's proprietary information, so if you are not contributing for the flight, then you cannot access it. That's the rules from pictometry. They won't allow a non-permanent. We have an Excel database that was created many, many years ago, which basically catalogs our as-built drawings. Every as-built that the city has had from the beginning of when we collected them has been scanned and put into this database. And this is a tool that public works planning, anybody who needs an as-built can search and look at it and print one out. Again, it's internal only. You have to have Microsoft access to use it, and there's no ability for the public to search this from their home. So we have implemented some really good tools, I believe, and that have been very effective. I think we've done a pretty good job. But GIS is evolving. It's becoming geared much more toward mobility out in the field and interacting, engaging the community more, where they can interact with our maps and applications and our data. So people are interested and they want to engage. And I believe that we can do better. So, this graphic is... it roughly demonstrates our current setup and how our GIS gives information out. It's pretty basic. Just the arrows here depict the flow of information. And you can see it's pretty one-directional. We have GIS at the center, the data center, creating the data, passing it on to the end users who consume it, and then it kind of just dead ends. there's really no way for them to pass data back to the GIS. Manually, someone could come to me and say, hey, can you update this map, or can you add this, can you do this? And sure, I can do that. But it's very limited and very one-directional. I envision a future GIS look more like this, where it's multi-dimensional and you have data being passed back and forth from users to the GIS and between users. So each side of the arrow has the ability to consume and contribute the information. This is how cities such as Seattle would work. They have kind of the set. I envision something kind of midway between the previous slide I showed you and this. We're not as big as Seattle yet, so I don't see us quite at this level, but I do see it more multi-directional than we currently are. So my future goals for the GIS department are generally the following. I would like to increase the accuracy of the spatial and informational data that we do provide. And this can be accomplished through better and more efficient field work out in the field, more staff accessing the data, looking at the data, alerting me of errors in the data. The more that people do that, the more reliable it becomes and the better product we have. So, saying that, I would like to share the GIS data sets internally. I'd like to build supporting applications which will increase the dissemination of data throughout the organization. And I'll touch on this in a little more detail further down here. But basically, how will staff access this information that I'm providing them? There's all kinds of apps and things that can be created to allow them to view and access the data and interact with it. And then I'd like to build a strong, build supporting applications that will provide data to the community. So essentially, I'd like to do the same thing for the community, the citizens. I'd like to let them access the data and interact with it more than they're able to right now. And finally, to facilitate the interaction with the public through the deployment of focused applications and web maps. So when I say deploy focused maps and apps, this isn't a great screenshot. It's hard to read, and I'll clarify a little bit. This is an example of just a few of the many applications that people have developed in other jurisdictions. And Esri, who makes our software, our GIS software, they're already developed, and they can be loaded. The ones that look like they're on the tablet, are essentially that. They were designed to go on a tablet or on an iPhone or an Android phone, out in the field, loaded up onto that device, taken out of the field for data collection, data viewing. So there's a lot of mobile applications out there that can be used. And there's also the other apps which can be used for internal use, or we can put them out on the web. For data collection, viewing data, more specific and more focused than just our overall map viewer we're using now, where you have one map and you have 30 layers on it. Box it down. So these can be more more focused on utilities or parks or floodplain mapping or you name it. I mean, the opportunities are pretty extensive.
So if Wendy had her little tablet, she'd go up there and map the stormwater and just like touch it to show you, so that you would know exactly where the stormwater pipes were.
She or Paul could go out in the field with an app installed and enter data. I wouldn't say that the positional accuracy of the data that she's collecting will be great, because we've actually tried it. It's off by a few feet.
So even if she has like a GPS
Yes. Even then, a GPS. These applications can be loaded onto a GPS as well.
Okay.
They've come a long way. The GPSs are much more interactive and more like a computer, a touchscreen computer. But the data that you can enter when you're out there, if you're looking at a catch basin, say, you can enter on the fly all kinds of data and do it right there, and then it automatically saves it to that map, which I have access to.
Just so not everybody can see it, just populates it automatically, and everyone can see it.
Everyone can see it on the fly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the potential there is really pretty great. So there's five key areas of government activity that GIS really facilitates, and this new technology really really helps make more efficient. And the first one is data creation. We have field mobility, planning and analysis, operational awareness, and citizen engagement. Talk to you a little bit. So data creation is self-explanatory. If you want to go out and do inventory, such as a fire hydrant inventory, this technology just makes that much more efficient and much easier for our maintenance crew can go out and do it. I can go out and do it. Do a quick inventory and enter data on the fly. That field mobility goes along with it. For instance, if you needed to go out and perform a damage assessment after a declared disaster, that would be really facilitated by using this technology. Planning and analysis, an example, that would be for capital projects planning. We could create and throw a web map out there on the web showing all the capital projects on one map and link documentation, additional maps, any text that we want out there so people can see an overall picture of what we're planning on doing in the future. Get the support that way. Operational awareness is just recognizing how the city operates and how it's functioning and what are its deficiencies in certain systems and how can we correct them. For instance, we had an illicit discharge somewhere. There's a tracking application where you could find the source. You could determine what areas are going to be affected, you know, downstream, try to isolate them or repair the system or whatever.
You could also hook up to like the USGS data for drones, for like weather things.
I would imagine that you could. I'd have to look at that more. But it's the geographic data that can be incorporated into the system as long as it's.
We see if we had a train derailment, if something was in the river, we push a button and suddenly we'd know that 2 hours later it's going to be in the river.
Yeah. You have modeling. You can model where it's going to go, flows, and things like that. Yeah. For community engagement, just getting the public interested and aware of what's going on in maybe another way than they're used to. For instance, if someone wanted just to know if their house is in the floodplain area, they could go on and type in their address and would pop up a little dot. So those are just a few of the many, many examples. So I'm going to just focus on community engagement for a second here in a little more detail just to give you a better idea of what I mean here. So suppose the city had a project, like a land use change or a zoning amendment, comp plan amendment or a zoning change, or an annexation, or something that the project that they were proposing in an area, we could map those projects and put them out there on a web map, and the community could take a look at them and actually interact and give their input on what they feel about this project. We can link text and maps and again documents to this application. They can view it, they get a good sense of what the project is, how it affects them. Then they can actually give their input. they can pull up a window and say, this one particularly says, this is a great project or a great proposal. They can submit that. Yes.
When they do that, how do they have to register? What I'm getting at is, how do you prevent trolls?
Right. That's a good question. That would be an IT.
I imagine in most map features, I've done this for the Google, a local Google map, which I imagine is vaguely similar. You just set it so that all comments have to be approved before they're visible by the public. And so somebody could submit a comment.
I'm getting it. How do you know it's a real person? How do you know that they're not stacking it in favor of something?
Right, right. I mean, that's,
you wouldn't. I don't know that.
I want to hear Riley answer that.
You can require first and last name and phone number. You can require.
So you could weed them out.
Yeah, the same person is is commenting over and over and over.
Yeah.
The flag.
Okay. Yeah.
I just was curious if there was some kind of controls, and you sound like you know what you're
saying. Yeah, they're usually in these sort of situations.
But under a government situation, so it's a, would we have the ability to say we're going to edit it before it's released?
Not edit it. We can
legitimize it.
Curtail it. You know, we can say, okay, that's not an appropriate thing to put in a public forum.
Okay.
All right, we'd have to document
that. That will be an interesting journey.
This is just an example.
It should be fairly easy to do, because even on our owner's website with the car, the only way you can comment on that website is you have to enter your VIN number.
And this might be a little bit different from a comment at a public hearing as compared to a comment, hey, city, you probably didn't know that there's a guy that's been sleeping back in this wetland for years and years, where it's to help us make a better decision before we make the recommendation, as opposed to the hearing, I live at 2160.
Yeah, but how far in our future are those comments part of the, I mean, they're a public comment.
Six months.
What I was getting at, though, is if you're making decisions based on this stuff, it would be easy to skew, it sounds like, unless you set up something like Riley said.
And this wouldn't replace the typical mandatory public comment period. It would just supplement it in a way. It could backfire. You know, you have to just try it. You have to try it and see. It gives people that wouldn't normally come and comment that may be shy or uncomfortable doing so a voice and access. To the city, basically 24/7. If they really felt strongly about an issue.
So you could also just have a picture and you could see what it looks like from the street, and then look at the maps, and people could really get a feel for what we're going to do.
To make it as complex or simple as you have funds available to staff. That was kind of I just wanted to give an example of how you can, if you wish, to get your community more engaged by using GIS and get their feedback. And there's other ways. I mean, there's many different ways that you can accomplish that. That was just one small example. Another tool, this technology can also really aid in emergency management. When disasters strike and we have a declared emergency, I am the official data gatherer for FEMA in the event of an emergency, a declared emergency. And tools like these would really help, especially on mobile apps that you can load up on the tablet or take out, to do things like damage assessments or flooding. You can report the extent of flooding. Or a big one is debris removal, going out and checking after a flood, where's the debris left to be removed. You can inventory structural damage to buildings, commercial buildings, public facilities, and
can you use the data to
No. But you can use the data to you have to go and gather the data anyway, so you may as well make a record of it, a map of it for historical reasons, and that you can go back to and look at. And it's not just the map, it's also the data that you're collecting out there, too, that will be there forever. So this one, for example, is a degree reporting app where you can go out and categorize the degree that you come upon after. It could be vegetation, sediment, appliances, or whatever washes, whatever's left after a flood receipts or whatever. You can enter data on the fly out there, such as the volume, who's collecting the data, any other information that you think is the date.
The value of the damage.
An approximate value, anything out there, and do it right on the fly out there. And you can also, like I said, do something similar with structures. Do a structural inventory where you want to see where the damage to your public facilities are. And that just all helps us obtain reimbursement funds, the data that we're gathering, because they won't give it to us without documentation. So this technology has some good benefits, some benefits. I feel that it would bring about significant cost savings from greater efficiency, cost savings from greater productivity, better decision making, and improved communication through citizen engagement. And so those are just a few of the benefits I see that we could potentially reap from investing in our GIS technology for the future. And just in case you're wondering where we currently are in this process, because we're not starting from scratch. We have some things in place that we can use. We have some infrastructure already. Because I looked at that back then, in 2008. One thing we've been doing is making sure we keep our software up to date, our maintenance. It's a little chunk of change at the beginning of every year that we pay, but it keeps our software up to date, so we get this software based. We have this software already. We have the necessary ArcGIS server software. It's paid for. It's installed. It's running. It's just it's sort of running. We have the data server that we upgraded our data server. That's running. It's configured for internal deployment, so I can run some test applications internally and kind of get staff feedback and their input on what they'd like to see and how they would use this. That's already in place. It's ready to go. We have our actual SQL Server database installed. That's going to actually house all the data from which these applications will be pulling. Or where we'll be pulling the data from. And
so you don't need a new server or new storage?
Yep, we've got lots of storage. Yeah, and that we're ready to go. There's also, now SQL Server Express, that's a freebie that comes with the server software. And it's limited to 10 gigabytes. I have used maybe 3, if that, over 15 years. I've used a lot more than that, but for the good data that I put out on the web app, less than 3. I mean, so 10 gigabytes will take a while to fill up. But once you start adding aerial photos, it could get filled pretty quickly. But there are some free open source databases available that we can acquire that wouldn't cost much, if anything. Or we could decide to upgrade to the paid version of SQL Server. So, our immediate need, so that's what we all have. It's ready to go. It's installed. What we need now I need support from staff, council, and citizen support in the the software is very complex. There's a lot of programming involved. With my day-to-day duties, I'm very limited as to how much I can actually spend on educating myself in this technology. I know a fair amount, and I believe that with a little training and some outside help from some consultants, possibly could get us up and running in a very short amount of time without a huge investment.
Can you do Western interns? But it depends on whether you need them to be
We could tap into that and see if their computer programming, their computer technology program, whatever it has. But they also have to know GIS, and that could get. We might get lucky. I mean, we could. But there are private sector consultants out there that could just get me going on this, and with a little training. I'm very confident that I can take it from there. I just need someone to get me started on this.
Will you be the only person who knows how to do it though?
Pretty much. Perhaps definitely. Yeah. And I'm not talking like tens of thousands of dollars. And patience. This isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to be baby steps in the beginning. There's going to be a little learning curve for me and anyone else we bring in, whether it be in it, somebody from Western or a consultant. But it's not going to be an open-ended, pie-in-the-sky type thing. I have some very specific goals that I want to see implemented and or that I would like, that I think would be very effective to get us started, and it would make a huge difference, and then we can just build on that. So a little bit of patience. So my priorities right now, these are three or four things that I'd love to see happen. Replace that online thumbnail map viewer with something more user-friendly, more interactive, more current, more Google Earthy. People are used to seeing that nowadays, and when they see ours and they experience ours, they get frustrated a little bit. I know it. I hear it. And I sympathize. But it's all we have right now. I would like to implement some basic applications for data gathering and viewing, just some basic apps that I can have staff load up on their mobile devices and go out and get me some good data. Because, again, it's all about the data, really. If you have bad data, then all this other stuff is meaningless. And I would love to enhance our SmartGov permit system map. Right now, we're using SmartGov for permitting every day, and it's got a map that's okay, but it's a canned map that they provided. I would love to customize that and make it completely Ferndale-centric and add functionality such as buffering for address mail merges and notifications where you could, if you had project and you need to notify people within a certain distance of the project, Yori could do it if I'm not there. Anyone could do it with a press of a couple buttons and get a nice file that they could use for mailings and things like that. So those are the three things that I feel if we can make some headway there, just those things right there would make a huge difference, and then we just can build off that.
How much do you need?
Well, I was going to say, as we roll into the new year, we'll be bringing back some more specifics about what applications we should probably kind of bring in first, second, and third. But we will kind of give you an overview of where we are, where we want to go to, and realize that it is not a huge amount of money. It is an investment in time and technology, but I think it will pay off.
tool that might help you out. At the last AWC conference this year, one of the breakout sessions that I went to was on GIS, information systems, and the two gentlemen running that breakout session were from Association of Washington Cities, and that's their job. It's training.
Really?
Yeah.
They're just trainers, that's what they do?
That's what they do.
Okay.
So when you get ready to upgrade all this stuff, I would suggest call AWC and say, I need somebody that can come up and show me how to integrate all these new fancy features. And those two guys will probably pop up on your doorstep soon.
Well, I will be calling them tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a very good session. It was an hour.
Great. Well,
and they were telling us about all the cities they've done. You know, they started out down by Olympia, and they started it out when they were at Washington. And they graduated, they liked it, and they got kind of hooked on talking to the different cities, and so that's what they do now. They're afraid of everything. They go out and do all this kind of stuff.
Well, that would be a good resource.
Where would the money come from? General fund?
Well, that's something we'll bring back with you as well, because some of this will be cross-departmental, so some of these applications could be used by... Some will be specific. Police department applications are unique to the police department. Other ones will have cross appeal. So we'll bring back kind of incrementally some enhancements as well as the budget implications. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
We got a couple minutes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
No pressure, though.
No pressure at all. During the finance committee meeting last week, we reviewed some of these decision cards, I think most of them. And what I did was I implemented, assuming the council would approve all of these. That's not a foregone, that's not a done deal, obviously, but I put all the numbers in the packet you have tonight. But in order to afford some of these new items on the decision card page, which is the first kind of 8.5 by 14 page in your packet. It's the first one that kind of sticks out there, the expenditure decision cards. And in order to be able to afford police vehicles for the next 3 years, three new vehicles each, in order to be able to afford a new vehicle for scope, a one-time deal, in order to be able to afford a third police support staff, in order to continue to afford the second detective and miscellaneous other things, we need to balance up the revenue with the expense. One suggestion is a solid waste tax. If you turn the page to the first colored green cell, that big sheet, solid waste tax fund number 005. This shows one way to be able to afford those things we talked about, not only staff, but vehicles. We're currently at 12.5% rate on solid waste. That's 12.5% on the gross garbage going over the scale at the two transfer stations on Slater. One scenario to make this all affordable is a rate increase starting in 2017. going from 12.5 to 14.5, and then going back down to 14% in 2024 because we will have paid off the 10-year library bonds. The next colored page there shows an alternate on solid waste tax, whereby, and I don't have any preference how you kind of ladder these rates in on solid waste, but alternate A there shows a next year going from 12.5 to 13%, a half a point, another half a point in 17, and then a full point in 14.5% in the year 2018. Next page, alternate B, is a similar thing where you just go a half a point in 16, half a point in 17, and then a full point. Sorry, full point in 17 and half a point in 18. All those three scenarios get us where we need to go for a balanced budget with, frankly, all those decision cards to the nod. That's kind of the bulk of my presentation tonight. Yes, please have those questions.
So did you put in business licenses doing $50 per
No, I put in all the expenditure decision cards. Thank you for asking that.
Okay.
The revenue decision cards, which is third page in, I only assumed a 1% property tax increase.
Okay.
I assumed no other implementation of business license changes. It does show the solid waste, half a point on the solid waste rate gives you $65,000, so that's obviously part of this thing. But then there's a change in the utility tax. This is not in here, but if you were to change utility tax on our own water, sewer, storm utility, gains $40,000 a year if you go up half a point.
And all the FTEs on this headcount schedule, those are all in there now, too?
They are. The full-time employees, you look at a headcount schedule, I think that's the fourth page in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going from 65 approved this year to 68, if you were to approve that, and one is in the finance area where we're getting another utility billing clerk to improve our water customer service, our water customers. Third police clerical, and also another field worker for our public works folks, mostly water, sewer, storm, street.
Well, I said this at committee meetings. I think I might as well just go ahead and repeat it. I haven't seen anything change my mind. I prefer that alternate A. That's my choice. That just seems to be really clean. It
goes up half a point, another half a point, and then a full point in 2018.
Yeah.
Goes back down in 2024.
It just seems clean to me. I like it.
And
it does raise a little bit less money but it's only like $100,000 in 9 years or whatever.
Yeah, it's close enough. And in fact, if she saw those revenue graphs today, I know it's just today I sent them out. Solid waste is
cleaning up the garages or
really way above budget.
I'm going to make a comment that I made at that meeting as well. If you think for 1 minute that 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23 are going to go without a solid waste tax increase, you're dreaming. Take it back the last 7 or 8 years and tell me that there have been no increases in that period of time.
Well, no, we start out at just her history.
Time,
you start out at 1%.
Every time.
Went to 6.
We're a little bit short.
Then at 7,
so you look
8,
at solid
9,
waste
10.
My comment goes something like this. Where's the limit at which they finally say, we're going to go assume that? We don't know. They may tolerate 30% before they go, but we don't know. And I've heard arguments at this table that went something along this line. We couldn't tell 4 or 5 or 6 businesses that they should have to pay a tax. Yet we seem to be satisfied with just 2 businesses paying this tax. Now, do they pass it through? Yeah, they do, but not to the turnip government.
You have one advantage is your new public works director is a solid waste distribution expert, so at least you'll have some new and different expertise on staff.
And then you'll be also giving Bellingham his trust when we have trash, so, I mean, this is what we have. I don't like it any more than anyone
else. It's one of those oddities of local municipal finance. We get local sales tax, we have enough sales generators are either good, or if you don't have much, we're not so good. There's no revenue sharing and sales tax between the borders. So, yeah, we have solid waste.
Council Person Olson.
Mark, I'm looking at the last 8.5 by 11.
At the very end of the thing.
Right. No, in the first section of 8.5 by 11.
Okay. I didn't number them. Is this the headcount chart? Or?
Right.
Okay.
On police, you have 22 this year. How many sworn officers do we have? 18.
I think league were authorized 19.
Right, and I understand why. So.
And then plus three clerical duties, so 22.
So the two that we have now, that would be 21.
We're going to replace the guy, though, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're 19 authorized commissioned officers now, plus two clerical duties, to 21 right now.
We'll have to replace guy.
Absolutely.
No, I know that. I was just trying to figure out. So it's actually police slash clerical.
Yes, police budget. Yeah.
Okay.
It's commissioned and I guess non-commissioned clerical staff.
Okay, that's all I needed. Thanks.
So, interestingly enough, the Finance Committee discussed bringing in ordinance, and we have three different ordinances tonight on solid waste. Not really trying to push a vote, but they're available and ready to go. If you like alternate one. We do have to keep in mind how many sessions we have between now and the end of the year. We need to address property tax, whether you want to go the 1% or not. Inflation is running less than 1%, so we do a declaration of need. And
we do have a request to pull item F, the solid waste tax increase, pull from tonight's agenda and move it to a meeting at some other time.
Some
other
time
when? I guess next 16.
Time. Or? Okay. Profiles and courage, boys and girls.
A request from here or outside?
No, one of our council members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, me.
No.
No, it was me.
Didn't say it was.
I did.
Oh.
I'm curious, do you need to know about what we're going to do about local? Real quick.
Say that again.
The local program, do we need to vote on whether to take those?
Not yet.
But we're going to need, you kind of move forward on some of those because we need to schedule the public hearings. I mean, those will take public hearings.
We've only got one meeting left in November, and then we have to pass the budget. So. But
we have time to keep discussing this. When do we have to?
Correct.
We have to do the last meeting.
December 7th.
The solid waste taxing doesn't require a hearing.
Correct.
No. So that can be done at any given time.
You are correct.
Shooting for the first meeting in December, having it all wrapped up. And if we decide as a council to do anything different on solid waste, we need to pass an ordinance, put it in place, and then we feel confident about spending the money that brings in on police cars and police staff and this and that.
So they could decide in committee. I mean, we could schedule the public hearing on the other items in November.
We have a public hearing scheduled for November 16th for the property tax ordinance, and then we have a public hearing scheduled for December 7th for the actual budget itself. So we could pass the budget as early as December 7th, but we would by necessity need to pass it by December 21st, unless we wanted to have a special meeting before the 21st and the 30th. I threw out an idea that may or may not interest you. Should we dispense with the majority of our work on December 7th, the possibility exists that we could actually cancel the December 21st meeting. I've done this before in other cities, kind of a little early Christmas present, but that is absolutely, right now the agenda is extremely light for the 21st of December, but that really is totally up to you. These are your meetings and it's your budget, so you need to adopt it at whatever pace you feel most comfortable.
I would rather we discuss solid waste tonight, just so, because you've got a lot of work to do, and if we end up waiting and then we're not going to pass it, then what are we going to
do? Certainly we can, you can leave it on the agenda. Councilperson Olson wanted to pull it. We could use it for discussion, and you guys can decide when to vote or when to not vote on anything. you don't have to vote. You can certainly discuss things without a vote.
Yeah, as Mark mentioned, we did bring, I think, all three.
I'll refer back to Councilperson Olson. I mean, he was the one that requested it, so.
I think it's good to have a discussion. I just think it's premature to be putting those in when we haven't even really decided this stuff yet.
Okay.
Well,
okay. The decision cards. If I
right.
Focus on the decision cards.
I mean, as it was set up, it would be more or less a tax increase. We haven't even decided what we're going to do yet.
Can
you talk about the
decision cards?
Oh, no, we can talk about.
Well, you got. I wanted to give you a 5-minute break, yeah. So you got.
Well, on the regular agenda under F, we could talk.
If combined, if you will, the
conversation about solid waste tax with the ramifications of the budget.
And that's just me. Okay. I mean, if there's a majority that outvotes me, gee, I'm used to that.
Well, a little consensus, stay on the agenda. Stay on the agenda.
Yeah.
Ronnie, okay.
Again, I mean, you can vote on the ordinance, you can not vote on the ordinance, but at least right now we can just have that discussion.
Okay. It's on the agenda. Still on the agenda.
Yeah.
Well, just a few minutes before break.
Do
you want to kind of go over that expenditure decision card matrix?
Well, any questions? Does anyone have any questions on the decision cards, on those expenditures? I mean,
it's the first long sheet in.
I'm curious about one thing.
Sure.
It shows that we had funding for it and that it was approved. Why did we drop the second mechanic that we were told was really getting to be
internally
a necessity?
Internally, we discussed the mechanic thing. We decided internally we hold off on that. We took it off.
Without overworking and stretching out and killing our current mechanic?
Yeah. A couple of reasons for it. One is that we are proposing to buy some new equipment, which should reduce the baling wire and Band-Aid concept of mechanics. And the second one was, I think we were thinking about some succession planning for our mechanic, but that concept might have been a little bit premature. We can discuss these issues anytime during the year. But right now, with our budget, we felt like dropping the second mechanic was prudent.
That's good. I saw one.
Look at the decision cards. It says everything's already been approved except annual cycles.
Yeah, let me address that. Obviously, you haven't approved all these yet. I put all these numbers in the spreadsheets, assuming they were approved and assuming solid waste tax would be approved to cover those expenses. But it's only because I put all the numbers in to see how it balanced out.
Yeah, we wanted to show you the 2016 and most importantly, perhaps, the succeeding years that we have the ability to pay and sustain, because the last thing we want to do, especially when it comes to personnel, is hire personnel and then kind of whipsaw between layoffs and hires.
If you have a question, anyone, just mark it down. We've got a couple minutes left, but we certainly can roll any question into regular session, too. Right, I'm getting the impression we're going to take a break starting now.
I think so.
I think so.
Okay.